Bottom of Vavam Bay is the very bottom. Two lines up. Omar Rabba Barbachana. Rabba Barbachana said, Hod Amir Rabbana, that which Chachamim said, Shlosh Devarim Tzarech Adam Lomar Besoch Beso. There are three things a person should say in his home, Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha, on Erev Shabbos just before dark. He should say, number one, Isartem, have you taken Meiser from the fruit that we will need to eat tomorrow? Because you can't take Meiser on Shabbos. Therefore, you have to ensure that whatever food you want to eat on Shabbos has been already tithed before Shabbos. That's one reminder you share before Shabbos starts. Number two, Eravtem. Have you made the Erev that you're going to need on Shabbos? You can't make the Erev on Shabbos, you've got to do it before Shabbos. What kind of Erev? Rashi says Erev Chatzeros, to enable carrying. Tosa says Erev Tumen, to enable you to walk beyond the Tchum Shabbos. And finally, you should say Havdikos Aner, remember to light the candle. So these three things you should say in your home just before Shabbos starts. So the Gemara says, when you say these three things, Tzarech, you must, top of the Amud, L'meimrinu b'nechusa, say them calmly. Ki hechi de'lekab l'minei, in order that they'll be receptive to what you're saying. If you're going to say it with force and intimidation, they're going to be less likely to want to do what you are asking and reminding them to do. So say it calmly, so therefore you can be sure that it will be done. The Gemara then adds, Amar Rav Ashi, Ano lo shmili hod Rabba Bar Bachana. I did not hear Rabba Bar Bachana say this. Nonetheless, v'kiyamti misvar, but I did it because on my own it was reasonable to do so, to say it calmly. So the Marsha explains that the concern of Rabba Bar Bachana is that these three activities take meiser, set aside the Erev, light candles, have to be done as a shliach of the one who is really responsible to do it. So if you want them to willingly become your shliach to do it, then you have to not intimidate them, but rather say it calmly so they'll be willing to become your shliach. Whereas what Rav Ashi is adding is that even if I'm not worried about them willingly becoming my shliach, nonetheless, in general, you should always talk calmly, you should always talk pleasantly to people. So it's not just because I want to make sure that they're going to be willing to consent to be my shliach, but just in general, whatever topic of discussion you're having with somebody, it should always be done benachas with all people. It should be done in a pleasant manner. Okay. Next, the Gemara says, Amar Rebivo, Le'olam al yatil adam ema yeser b'zoch beso. A person should never impose excess fear and intimidation upon members of his household. Because after all, Shahari Adam Gadol Hitil Ema Yaseb Soch Beso, there was a great man who did impose excess fear and intimidation upon members of his household, and what resulted from that was the Ha'echiluhu Davar Gadol. They gave him a significant prohibition, a significant forbidden item to eat. Umanu, who was this Adam Gadol, who as a result of the excess intimidation that he imposed on members of his household, he was given by the household staff something that was a serious prohibition to eat. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, it was Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. He, I guess, ruled the staff in the household with a iron fist, and because of the fear and intimidation they had of him, they once gave him something which was usher to eat because they were too afraid of not being able to serve him when they needed to serve him, and they gave him something usher. So the Gemara interjects, do you really think that they gave him something to eat that was usher to eat and that he unwittingly ate it? That can't be, because after all, hashta, you know now in general, that behemton shel tzadikim ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu may be takala al yadam. Even the animal of a tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not enable them to eat that which is forbidden. So if that's true for the behemah of a tzaddik, tzaddikim atzman l'kol shegein, certainly a tzaddik would never be allowed by a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, to eat a davar aser unintentionally. So it can't be that what happened was is that his avadim, his servants, gave him something usher to eat, because the Kaddish Baruch Hu would always ensure that a tzaddik doesn't eat something that's usher.
It's Pilchas Ben Yoyah.
Yes, the donkey of Pilchas Ben Yoyah is the example Gemara is referring to. Now, I think Mefarshim explained the reason why Kaddish Baruch Hu would never allow a tzaddik to eat a davar usher. Tosa says, Ben Tam says, it's because it's a genai for a tzaddik to eat a davar usher. Why is it a genai? Most likely because we know Chazal tell us that if one eats machals asuras, it's metam to mislev. It has a detrimental spiritual impact on the individual. Even if it's done unintentionally, it's a natural reaction. So therefore, for that reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the tzaddikim this extra degree of shmira that they shouldn't end up eating machals asuras. Now, Tosus interestingly makes a distinction. This idea or notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let a tzaddik eat a machal asur is not relevant to eating something which inherently is mutter during a time that is usher. In other words, Tosa cites examples where there was one Amora who forgot and ate before Havdalah. Not allowed to eat before Havdalah. He forgot, he ate before Havdalah. That's not a Michael usher, that's a Michael Heter, but the wrong time. Or even, let's say, forgetting and eating on Yom Kippur. That's not a Michael usher, that's a Michael Heter at the wrong time. So that's not what the Gemara is talking about here. The Gemara is talking about eating that which is mamish a Michael Usser, Chazer, Treif, you know, a real Issur Chefza. That's what we're saying. Kadosh Baruch Hu would never allow a Talmud Chacham, a Tzaddik, that is, to eat a Michael Usser because that's considered a Genai. So the Gemara is asking, so then how is it possible to say that a Mechnei Megamil mistakenly ate such a Michael Usser? Gemara says, no, what happened was, is Ela Bikshu L'Hachil Davagadol. They tried to, meaning they served him something usher, but he didn't eat it ultimately. What was that Davar usher? The Gemara asks, mind you, what was it? Eva Menachai. This Davar Gadol, this great prohibition referred to, is an Eva Menachai. And Rashi explains that they were preparing his meat for him, and somehow that which was properly shechted, they lost it. And they were so scared to tell him, oh, sorry, we don't have the meat you requested, that they quickly grabbed what they had available, Eivrim Menachai, and they tried serving that to him. Ultimately, he didn't eat it, but it was just a demonstration of how careful you have to be to avoid intimidating those around you, because it could backfire in a serious way.
Why did they say Dover Gadol instead of Dover Asur?
So Mashal asks, why you referred to Eivrim Menachai as Dover Gadol? He says, it's a description of the prohibition that Eivrim Menachai is the one Michael Usser that even Bnei Noach cannot eat. So we're describing the Isser as being a significant Isser that everyone can't eat this. Okay, moving on. Shalach Le Mar Ukva Rabbi Elazar. Mar Ukva sent a message to Rabbi Elazar. Bnei Adam Ha'omdim Alai. People who are confronting me. And Rashi explains, they're cursing me, they're insulting me. Ubiyadi lemosam lemalchus, and I do have the ability, says Mar Ukva to Rabbi Elazar, to inform upon them and have them arrested by the Roman government. Mahu, can I do that? They're making me miserable. Can I just inform the Roman government that they are guilty of whatever the infraction happened to be and have them arrested and taken away? So sirtate v'kasavle. So in response, Rabbi Elazar etched a line on the paper and responded with a pasuk as follows. Amarti, I said, Eshmra Drachai Mechato Bilshoni. The pasuk says, David Melach says, I will guard my ways from sinning with my tongue. Eshmra Lafi Machsom, I will guard my mouth as if there is a muzzle on it. The Od Russia Lenegdi, so long as the Russia is in front of me, opposite me. So we darshan that pasuk as follows. Afal Pisha Russia Lenegdi, even though the Russia is confronting me, even so, Eshmerel Fi Machsom, I will keep my mouth under close watch as if it is muzzled. In other words, don't be Moser him Lamachos. Shalachle, so in response, my Ukva sent back, Kometsa'ari Lituba. This individual is causing me great distress. And I can't stand up against him. What am I supposed to do? Shalach Lei, in response, Rabbi Elazar answered. Pasuk says, Dom la Hashem, wait for God, bischol alo, put your trust in him. In other words, he darshens the word dom to mean as follows. So the word chalolam is to mean, hischolol to mean as follows. Dom la Hashem, wait for God, buya pilim loch chalolam, chalolam. And God will knock them down for you, as if they are bodies. Don't do anything, just wait for God. And he then adds, hashkem the ha'arev alehem, the base HaMedrash, or the Beis HaKnesses, get up early, stay out late, each and every day in the Beis HaKnesses, then kolen me'alehen, and they will, on their own, fall apart. So that's what he was encouraging them. So Tosfos, if the gear says Beis HaMedrash, it means just go and learn Torah. And that will be the schus that will knock them down. If the gear says Beis HaKnesses, that means go and daven, first after the Shmaya, and then they'll fall away by themselves. That's how Tosfos explains the advice being given here by Rabbi Elazar Tzimokva. Dom la'ashem v'scholo hashkem v'ha'arev aleim l'beis medrash then kolem me'aleim. The word dom also can be understood, says Tosfos, says dim dume chama, the rays of the sun. So get up early, you know, go to shul to beis medrash at nates, stay out late until sunset, till shkia, spend the whole day either learning or davening, and that will take care of them. Hadavar yatsam apir Rabbi Elazar, soon as Rabbi Elazar gave Ma'ukba this advice, don't inform upon them, just go to the Beis Medrash or Beis Knesset every day and learn or daven, then nasnu la Gneva b'kolor. Before you knew it, the Romans had arrested this man named Gneva, and he was taken out in chains to be executed, essentially. Okay, so the Gemara advises against being Mosa l'Mufus, advises instead to learn to daven, and in that schus, the problem will be solved. Sholchu le l'mar ukva. They sent a message to Mar Ukva. Zimra minolon da'asir. How do we know that Zimra, which means either music or singing, is forbidden? Forbidden because it's la'achar ha'churban. How do we know that it's asir? Now Rashi and Tosfos explain that the Gemara is asking specifically about singing in a bar, singing in conjunction with drinking wine. How do we know that singing and drinking in a bar is forbidden because of Zecha L'Churban? So in response, Marukva answered, Sirtei Bekasav L'Hu, he etched the lines in the paper and responded with the following pasuk: Al Tismach Yisrael El Gil Ka'amim. Pasuk says, don't rejoice like the nations. So on that basis, he's interpreting the pasuk to mean, don't rejoice as they do with song in bars. Asks Gemar, V'lishlach l'hu mehacha. Why not respond with the following pasuk? Bishir lo yishtu yayin. Don't drink wine with song. Yemar sheikhar l'shosav. The beer will be bitter to those who drink it. According to Rashi and Tosfos, the reason why I was asking this is because this pasuk explicitly references lo yishtu yayin, don't drink wine with song. So if your question is about how do we know that drinking wine is forbidden with song, this is the pasuk you should have quoted. It's a more obvious reference. Why'd you quote the more general don't rejoice when this pasuk explicitly says song with wine? Answers the Gemara, Imahu, had you quoted this pasuk from Yeshaya that speaks of don't drink wine with song, Havamina, I would have said, Hanamila Zimra Damana, that the pasuk is forbidding only music with instruments. Aval Dipumashari, but maybe if it's just vocals, nothing more, maybe that's permissible. So Kamashimlan, by quoting the more general pasuk of don't rejoice, that's implying even the broader category of singing without musical instruments that's also forbidden in a bar. That's how Rashi and Tosfos would learn the sugya. And Tosfos says that there is an exception, that when it's a shir shal mitzvah, like a chasna, simchas chasna mikawa, that's okay. But Tosfos says that if it is an excessive type of indulgence, an example Tosfos gives is each and every morning awakening to music, each and every night having your your local musician, you know, play his violin to coach you into a easy sleep. That's estos. That's a tainug b'yos. That's like really, really, you know, overindulging. That tos says, Roy Lahachmer, one should not do that. So one should not awaken each every morning to the sounds of music, nor should one go to bed every night to the sounds of music. That's considered an added indulgence, and Roy Lahachmer says tosos.
Bisman says, this real? This is still applies going live music? Is it recorded music?
Good question. I think that although an argument can be made that the prohibition was on live music because they didn't have recorded music in those days, and one could argue that live music is more of a indulgence than just recorded music, especially now that everyone's got recorded music access. You know, so there is such an argument to be made. I think Rosh Hashanah Zalman still advises against, you know, awakening every morning to the music station on your radio. I think he advises against that because of this Tosis and this Gemara.
Unless they're playing Reveille.
Right. So, you know, post and discuss, you know, what's the basis for the fact that so many Jews are makel nowadays on this halacha. So, you know, this is an interesting discussion in Poskim. Maybe it's because, and this I think is a Tshuvas Maharash angle, that we don't want Jews to fall into depression when the Golus is difficult. You know, you can't be depressed. Now, the Gemara is talking about added simcha, added indulgence. If the purpose of the music is just to keep you like at a baseline level, because otherwise life is so hard at times, he's writing in pre-war Europe, that, you know, you're going to sink into depression. Okay, so then there's basis, he argues, for that reason to listen to music to keep you on a functional level. But if it's really meant just to give added pleasure, added tainug, then on a regular basis, is what Tosis is saying, better to avoid it. So yeah, menig olam in many ways is to be makel. Like I said, Shlomo Zalman advises against waking every morning to the music station. He even says that, you know, Bnei Torah, he says, you know, he's not so encouraging them going to musical concerts, even though it's not on a regular basis, and therefore one might argue that it's not like Tosa says, each and every morning, each and every evening. Shlomo Zalman still was hesitant for Bnei Torah, you know, to encourage music concerts. And maybe when Kargi on Chol Moed, it's more of a Simcha Shal Mitzvah, Simcha Sachag. Okay. So it's interesting to consider. You know, it's not the most pashut, automatic heter, let's put it that way. Okay. Moving on. Omar Le Rav Huna Bar Nasna Vashi. Huna Bar Nasna says to Vashi. Ma'adach Siv, what's pshat in the Pasuk in Yoshua, which lists the names of cities in Eretz Yisrael? Kina V'dimona V'ad Ada. So in response, Vashi said, Amalei Masvasa de Eretz Yisrael Kachashav. Those are names of cities in Eretz Yisrael. Amalei, so Rav Huna Bar Nasan says, Atar Nalu Yadana de Masvasa de Eretz Yisrael Kachashav. I know that too. Ela Rav Gevia Me'argiza Amar Bataima. Rav Gevia of Argiza set up shot in the names given by the Pasuk to these cities. Now it could be that, as we'll soon see, what's perhaps motivating the drash is that the word ad-ada is like a double lashon. It's a unique kind of name. And the Gemara darshans the words therefore as follows. Kol sheyesh lo kina al-chaveru, anyone who's angry against his friend. Vidomem, and yet he disciplines himself. He controls himself. He doesn't express it. He's silent. Shochen ad-de-ad, ad-ada. The one who lives forever, Osel Odin, will act on his behalf. So we're dashing the word kina to mean kina, anger. The word dimona to mean domem, remains silent. The word ad-ada to mean shochen ad-de-ad, God who lives forever. So the Gemara then says, well, if that's how you're going to darshan that pasuk, Amar Lei, so then Ashi says in response, Elamiata, well then by that same approach, Siklag, Umadmana, Vissan Sana, Hachanami, so would you darshan that phrase as well? And perhaps, according to what we suggested before, the word sansana is also like a double lashon. It's like a repetitive type of name. So if you're going to darshan ada, then you should darshan sansana as well. So how would you darshan sansana then, based on this approach of yours to the names of the cities in Eretz Yisrael? So Amalei, so in response, Rav Huna Bar Nosson said, you're right, Yehava Rav Gvia Me Be'er Gizahacha, if he was here, Haba Amar Bar Taima, he would say a pshat in that pasuk as well. So the Gemara then suggests the following, Rav Acha Ben Bechazor Amar Bar Hachi, Rav Acha of Bechazor had the following pshat. Kol mi sheyesh lo tsa'akas legima al chavero. Anyone who has a parnasa complaint against his friend, meaning that my friend is harming my parnasa. That's tsa'akas legima. He's stealing from me, says Rashi. He's taking my parnasa from me. He has that complaint, and yet vidomem. So tsiklagas tsa'akas madmana is domem. He's silent. So sansana means shochein bisneh, the one who dwells in the bush, the burning bush, referring to God. Oslodin will act on your behalf. Now, the sneh is symbolic of God's humility. And perhaps in this case as well, the person is being harassed, he's being harmed, and yet he doesn't respond. That's a demonstration of humility. Now, I don't need to respond to everyone who insults me. That's a humility demonstration. So if a person demonstrates that humility in the face of a person harming him, so Kaddish, financially that is, so Kaddish Baruch Hu will act on his behalf. Next case. Amar Rav Shkalusha Rav Kuna. Rav Shkalusha says Rav Kuna. Klila Menalan Da'asar. How do we know that the wearing of a wreath or of a crown for a chasan is forbidden? Rashi used to have crowns made out of gold, made out of silver. They'd be etched with all sorts of designs. They even had crowns made out of wreaths with roses and myrtle leaves. So how do we know that la'achar churban, these crowns are forbidden? So the Gemara answers. Amar Lei, Rav Huna responded, Midrabanan. This is an issue of Rabbanan. Did not. The pasuk Mishnah says, "Bepulmos shall asap Simus." When Vespasian brought his troops against Yerushalayim, Gozul atras chasanim. Vala irus chachamim at that point forbade chasanim from wearing crowns. They forbade the use of the bell, the irus, to celebrate chasana. So that's how we know the issur exists. Adachi. In the meantime, while the Reish Kalusa and Rav Huna were discussing this, come Rav Huna, Lafnu Rav Huna got up to walk out to relieve himself. Amalev Chista, Shav Chista said to the Reish Kalusa, Kroksiv, it's a pasuk. Kormar Hashem Elokim, so says God, Haser Hametznefes, the Harem Ha'atara. Remove the hat, lift off the crown, Zos lo zos, this and not this, Hashvala Hagbeva Gevo Hashbel. The lower exalt, the exalted lower. That's the pasuk in Yechezkel. Says Rav Chista like this. What does the pasuk mean when it says remove the mitznefes, which is the hat of the Kohen Gadol, and lift up the crown? What does a mitznefes have to do with a crown? So the Gemara answers, Rav Chista explains, Alomalach, it's tell you as follows. Bizman shem mitznefes berosh Kohen Gadol, so long as the Kohen Gadol still wears his mitznefes because the mikdash is still up and functioning. Atara berosh kol adam, the crown then can be worn by everybody else, meaning the crown of chasanim can still be worn. However, nistalka mitznefes berosh Kohen Gadol. But, says Rav Chista, once there's churban beis hamikdash, Kohen Gadol ceases to function, at that point, nistalka atara berosh kol adam, then the chasanim cannot wear their crowns either. That was Rav Chista's drasha from this pasuk in Yechezkel. And in the meantime, Asher Rav Huna returned. Ashkechinu da'avo yasvi, he heard them, he found them sitting and discussing. Amar Lui said to them, Alokim, I promise you, midrabanan, this isser of the chasan wearing a crown is an isser drabanan. Ella, nonetheless, Chista shmach, your name is Chista, v'chizdoi milach, your words are very appealing. Because that was the discussion of this atros chasanim. Levina ashkenam barvashi. Even he came across my barvashi. Now, but Godel clearly levarte. He was making a crown for his daughter's wedding. Armalelo sava lamar hasim es nefes vater harim etara. Do you not darshan the pasuk to forbid such crowns on a wedding day la'achar chorban? Armalelo, in response, my barvashi said, "Zumi de kohen gadol." That pasuk compares the crown of the chasan to the hat of the kohen gadol. So b'meila begavi, it's only a prohibition that applies to the chasanim, to the men. Aba benoshilo, but for the women, the kalas, they're not prohibited to wear their crowns. My zos lo zos, what is meant when the pasuk says this and not this? Darsha v'avira, v'avira explains. Zimnin amal mishmed rabbi ami. Sometimes he said it in the name of Avami. Zimnin amal mishmed avasi. Sometimes in the name of avasi. B'sha'a sh'amar kodesh baruch hu Yisrael. When God told Klal Yisrael, Haser hametznefes, the harem ha'atara. At that time, when the Navi was predicting this would happen, Churban Beis Hamikdash, removal of crowns from Chasanim, Amru Malachi Asharas, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Malachim said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Zos Lehen LeYisrael, Shekdimu Lefanecha, Sinai, Na'asa LeNishma. Is this what Klal Yisrael deserves? They said Na'asa first, Nishma second. Oh, Shavuos, coming up this week. They said Na'asa first, Nishma second. So this is what they deserve. Churban Beis Hamikdash, removal of crowns. Amal Hen, so God responds, Lo Zos Lehen LeYisrael. Is this not what they deserve? Shehishpilu hasagavoa, they lowered the exalted. Higbir hasashafal, they exalted the low. They're the ones who distorted their priorities. So then this is the punishment they deserve. And finally, that midu tzalim behechal. He got so far as to put an idol, an avodah zarah, in the hechal itself. Another drasha. Darsh Rav Avira Zimnin Amala Mishmadir Avami Zimnin Amala Mishmadir Avasi. My other say was Pshat the Pasuk. Kol Amar Hashem, so says Hashem. Im Shlemim Bechein Rabim. Bechein Nagozu V'Avar. Pasuk in Nachum. Referring to the enemies of Yerushalayim. That if they join together, they're Shlemim. And they are Rabim, they are many. And even if they are Nagozu V'Avar, even if they cross the river to approach Yerushalayim, they won't succeed. Pasuk says, V'inisich lo'a'anech od. We'll see soon, is the rest of the pasuk. God promises Klal Yisrael, I've already brought you punishment. I'm not going to do so again. Because that's the pasuk shot in the pasuk. So the Gemara Dash is as follows. Im Shleim Mechin Rabbah means, a person sees that his financial resources are shlemim, are just enough. So what should he do? Yasim hen tzedakah. Give tzedakah from them. The koshkein shem rubin. And certainly, if he has adequate and more financial resources, give tzedakah. My bechein nagozu, what the avar? What's the next part of the pasuk mean? Tanz Rebbe Shmuel, kol agozes minachasav, when you shear away from your properties, from your financial resources, ve'osim en tzedakah, to give tzedakah, nitzol medina shel gehenem, you'll be spared gehenem, as a result of carving out of your financial resources to give tzedakah. Mashal shtei bechelos, she'orbas b'mayim, compared to two sheep crossing the river. Achas gezuza, one is shorn of its wool. Achas enek gezuza, one is weighed down by its wool. Gezuza avar, the one that is more streamlined and lightweight, will have an easier time going straight through. Enek gezuza avar, the one that's got the heavy wool all over, it's going to get bogged down by the water, and it's not going to have an easy time crossing through. So too, you know, I guess in our journey to Gan Eden, if we're weighed down by all the gashmis monetary resources that we haven't given away tzedakah from, will be slower to get there. If we streamline our portfolios, we carve away at that excess wool to give tzedakah from our financial assets, we'll have an easier time passing straight through to Gan Eden. Okay, so that's the pshat in the beginning part of this pasuk. Gemara then darshens the second part of the pasuk. I have afflicted you. Amar Mazutra, afilu ani, hamisparnes minat tzedakah, lashon of anius. Even one who is a poor person who himself is reliant on tzedakah, yaseh tzedakah. He also is supposed to give tzedakah. And finally, the pasuk concludes, lo a'aneich od, I will no longer punish you. Tanev Yosef, Yosef taught, shuv ein marin lo simane anius. No longer will they make him poor if he is going to give tzedakah, even when he is poor. No longer will he be subject to such poverty. Okay. Moving back to the discussions of Chutz La'aretz, Eretz Yisrael, and where the borders of Eretz Yisrael are. So the Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rekem L'Mizrach. Rabbi Yehuda said that Rekem and eastward is all Chutz La'aretz. Akko and northward is all Chutz La'aretz. So think about questions that, L'meimra, does that mean to say, De Akko L'tzpona De Eretz Yisrael Kaima, that Akko is the northernmost border of Eretz Yisrael? So the Mishnah identifies Akko as being part of Chutz La'aretz already, and Akko north is Chutz La'aretz, well, that means Akko is the north of Eretz Yisrael. We learned in the Braisa Mesachas Olos as follows. Now bear in mind, when it comes to the din of Tumas Meis, Chazal were gozer that Eretz Ha'amim is Metameyu, Tumas Meis, because you don't know where the dead bodies are buried. So the din is that a Kohen walks into Chutz La'aretz is assumed to be Tamei Meis. So in that regard, the Braisa says, a person is traveling, he's walking from Akko to Kziv. So he's heading northward. Mimino lemizrach, on his right side and further east, haderach tameah. He assumes that land is all tamei, is all chutz la'aretz. Mishum eretz ha'amim, because of tumas eretz ha'amim. Uptura min ha'maiser. However, and therefore, because it's Tumas Eretz Amin, therefore, he is putter from giving Meiser on that area. Umin ha'shvias, and he's putter also from Shemitah. Ashi vadalcha shu chayavas, unless you know for sure that the area that is to your right is chayav because it's Eretz Yisrael. Mismolo, on your left, Lamarav, towards the west, Haderach Tahora, Mishum Eretz Amin. We assume that that's not Chutz La'aretz, that's still Eretz Yisrael. The Chayeves b'Maiser b'Shvius, and you're obligated, therefore, to give Maiser and Shvius. I mean, to treat the produce with the halachos of Shemitah. Ad Shivad L'cha Shi Petur, unless you know for sure that it's Pater. So we're describing a guy traveling northward from Akko, and we're telling him that on your right, that's Chutz La'aretz. On your left, is still Eretz Yisrael. And it sounds like, therefore, that Akko is not the northernmost border, because if it's the northernmost border, then left and right should be Chutz La'aretz. The whole thing should be Chutz La'aretz. Sounds like Akko is on the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael. And if it's on the eastern border, so as you're traveling further north, on the right is Chutz La'aretz, on the left is Eretz Yisrael. But that's what it sounds like here. So we're asking on the Mishnah, how could the Mishnah say that Akko is the northernmost border of Eretz Yisrael? From this description in Maseches Olos, it describes traveling north from Akko. To your right, which is to the east, is Chutz La'aretz. To your left, to the west, is Eretz Yisrael. Sounds like Akko's on the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael. Right? Imagine looking at you're on Manhattan. You're traveling north. To your right is the water. To your left is the land. Well, where are you? You're obviously on the eastern side of Manhattan then. That's what we're describing here. And then one asks, Ad Heichan, well, how long is this true for? Ad Kaziv, until you get to Kaziv. That's the guidelines. Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Omer Mishum Aviv Ad Lav Lavo. Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says the name of his father until Lav Lavo. So from Akko to Lav Lavo, or from Akko to Kziv, that's when this applies. Right side is Chutz La'aretz, left side is Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, how can I just say that Akko is the very northernmost tip of Eretz Yisrael? Doesn't seem to fit with this description in Maseches Olos. Omer Abaye says, not to worry, Ritzua Nafka. There's a narrow little strip of land that extends northward from Eretz Yisrael. Meaning Akko is the very northern tip of mainland Eretz Yisrael. And there's this little strip that extends northward. So yeah, if you're progressing and walking on that strip northward, on the eastern side of that strip, to your east, to your right is Chutz La'aretz, to your left is that strip, is still Eretz Yisrael. That's what we're describing. The Gemara asks, "V'yov Tana Simana Hachi." Does the Tana give such descriptions based on just a small strip of land? And yes, Konami Yov Simana, the pasuk does the same. The Chassid says, "V'yomru." They said, "Hinechag Hashem b'Shilo miyamim yamima." There is a festive celebration in Shiloh each and every year. Hashem Mitzvona LeBeis El, north of Beis El. We're describing now where Shiloh is. It's north of Beis El. Furthermore, the pasuk describes Mizracha Shemesh. It's to the east. To the east of what? LeMesila HaOla miBeis El Shchema. East of that path that ascends from Beis El to Shchem, uMinegev LeLavona, and south of Lavona. So if you want to know where Shiloh is, where this Chag Hashem takes place, it's north of Beis El, but east of that road that leads you from Beis El to Shchem. That's where this Chag Hashem is, miyamim yamima. Okay, each and every year, they would have this Chag Hashem in Shiloh, where they would engage in dancing. And this is in reference to the members of Shefa Binyamin looking for wives at this Chag Hashem and Shiloh each and every year. But you see here the pasuk also gives you directions, if you will, or navigational guidelines based on a mesila, a road. Okay, so now moving back again into the din of the Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke of a get written in Eretz Yisrael, no need to say b'fana nechta. A get written in Chutz Laretz, you need to say b'fana nechta. What about the following? A get written on a boat in a river in Eretz Yisrael. Is that like it's written in Chutz Laretz? Is that like it's written in Eretz Yisrael? What's the status? So the Gemara says, Tanachada, one brisa says, Hamevi get besvina, if one brings a get that's written on a boat, and again, on a river in Eretz Yisrael, says Rashi, Kamevi ber Eretz Yisrael. It's like the get was written in Eretz Yisrael, no need to declare b'fana nechta. Tanidach, another brisa says, Kamevi b'chutz Laretz. No, you're not in Eretz Yisrael proper. So therefore, it's as if you wrote the get in Chutz Laretz. You must say b'fanei nechtav. In other words, the water of the river does not have the status of Eretz Yisrael. So stira and brises, what's the din? So how do you resolve those two brises? On Rabbi Yirmiyahu Lakasha. It's not shver. On Rabbi Yehuda, on Rabbanan. It depends who you hold like, Rabbi Yehuda or the Chachamim. Chachamim hold that the river is like Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yehuda says, generally speaking, not. How do we see this? Did not, because we have the following Mishnah. Or Brisa, according to Tosus. Afar Chutz Laretz haba bespina la'aretz. You have dirt in a pot from Chutz Laretz that is being transported in a boat to Eretz Yisrael. Now obviously, produce grown in Eretz Yisrael is chayv and meiser, subject to Shemitah. Produce grown in Chutz Laretz, not chayv and meiser, not subject to Shemitah. What about produce grown in Chutz Laretz soil on a boat in a river in Eretz Yisrael? So the rice is like this. Tanakhama says, Chayav ben Maiser Rishvias. It might be dirt from Chutz Laretz, but it's on a boat that's in a Eretz Yisrael Dika River. Hey, it's Chayav ben Maiser, it's Chayav ben Shemitah. It's as if it's in Eretz Yisrael. So this opinion, Chachamim, would say the same by get also. By get, presumably also. A get written on a boat in a river in Eretz Yisrael, it's like it's in Eretz Yisrael. If that's like Eretz Yisrael with regard to Chayav Maiser and Shvias, that's like Eretz Yisrael with regard to B'fana Nechta and B'fana Nechta. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda limits it. No, not so fast, he says. Amosai, when is the river treated like Eretz Yisrael? Bizman shasfina gosheshes. If the boat is rubbing up against the riverbed, the soil, the dirt, as the boat is sunk somewhat below the surface level of the river and hits the shallow earth beneath the river, then, okay, you're taka in Eretz Yisrael. Your mama is touching the ground. If your boat's not touching the land, that's not Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yehuda would say that the brisa which says that a get written on a boat in a river in Eretz Yisrael is like Chutz Laretz, that's Rabbi Yehuda. If your boat's not touching the ground, it's just on the water, that's not Eretz Yisrael, that's Chutz Laretz. Okay, so these two brises are Machlokas Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Abaya, Rabbi says, Havahar Rabbi Yehuda. Both could be Rabbi Yehuda. The brisa which says the get written on the boat in a river in Israel is like written in Israel. And the brisa which says the get written on a boat in a river in Israel is like written in Chutz Laretz. They both follow Yehuda. Velo kasha, it's not a stira. Khan was mancha in a synagogue. If the boat's not touching the ground, it's like Chutz Laretz. Khan was mancha in a synagogue. If the boat is touching the ground, that's like Eretz Israel. And just to add one more point before we conclude, according to Chachamim, a boat in a river in Eretz Yisrael is like it's in Eretz Yisrael. According to Yehuda, only when it's touching the ground, then it's like Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi learns pshat that when the boat is touching the ground, it's like it's in Eretz Yisrael, provided the boat is made out of cheres. Because if the boat is made out of cheres, out of clay, and it's touching the ground, so it has the din of whatever is growing on the boat is growing in the Eretz Yisrael dicker ground. Tosis argues, and Tosis says no. It's talking about a boat made out of wood. Wood is far more permeable, it absorbs the moisture, the water. Then, if it's a wooden boat, then when it's touching the ground, it's like it's actually growing in the land of Eretz Yisrael. But if it's made out of clay and it's touching the ground, you wouldn't have the same status as you would if it's made out of wood. Now, that relates, of course, to the din of atzitz nakuv, atzitz she'eno nakuv, a flat pot with a hole, flat pot without a hole. When is it considered to be growing from the ground? When not? But just for now, just leave it at that. Rashi says that the boat that is rubbing against the soil is, according to Rashi, a boat out of cheres. According to Ben Tam, it's a boat made out of wood. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow. That's Rashi Hashem.